Praise the Lord. Thank you. Matthew chapter 14 in your Bibles this morning. If you'll turn there, we'll begin reading in verse number 22. Matthew chapter 14 and verse number 22. And a famous story. You'll see Peter scared to death on a ship, cry out to the Lord, and the Lord says, come, and Peter steps out on the water and walks on the water. And God does a great work here in our scripture today. Matthew 14, verse 22, the Bible says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out unto all that country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Will you pay attention with me to verse number 27 in your text? We'll get our title for today's message from that. The Bible says, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Now, God has been doing an amazing work, and Jesus has been leading the people and doing miracles and teaching parables. And the disciples, if you remember the context of this passage of Scripture, the disciples have just got back from a missions trip. They get back from the missions trip, they're wore out, and Jesus says, let's come apart and let's find a desert place. When they get to the desert place, they don't find rest and relaxation. They find a multitude of people who are in great need. And so Jesus gets before the people in his weary state, the disciples tired too, and he teaches the people all day long. At that moment, Jesus, knowing everything going on, and the disciples concerned because they're watching their clock and watching the sun as it's beginning to set, and they're thinking, how in the world are we going to feed these 5,000 men plus their wives and children? So they come to Jesus, they say, Jesus, we need to do something, we need to send them away. And Jesus looks at his disciples, he said, you give them to eat. And God took a small amount of food, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He blessed it and broke it and fed the multitude. There were 12 baskets full left over. At the end of this miracle, Jesus sends, we come to our text, Jesus sends his disciples straightway. Now, it's getting dark. They were worried before they fed 5,000 people that it was getting too late to travel or getting too late to get the people somewhere where they could eat. So now the time has progressed. It's getting later and later. And Jesus says, look, I want you guys to get in the boat right now, and I want you to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Now, they were tired. They were worn out. And Jesus sends them headlong straight into a storm. They get in the storm. The Bible says that the wind was contrary. That means it's going the opposite direction. They're trying to get there, and the wind's blowing them in the face. The wind's contrary. The waves are boisterous. They're starting to get scared, and Jesus is on the mountain praying. In the book of Mark, the Bible says that Jesus actually sees them. He's on the mount praying, and Jesus sees them. I'm encouraged that Jesus sees what's going on in my world, and he can He cares and he's touched and he sees it, and Jesus saw it. He comes walking on the water. He comes walking on the water. The very thing that they were scared about, if you're in the ocean, what's your number one fear? Drowning. The very thing that would have taken their life, Jesus comes walking on. He's got it underfoot. He comes walking on the sea and comes to his disciples, and they see him and they're scared. When they see him and they're scared, he says, "Be not afraid." He says, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." Now, I'll just tell you something. If I was tired from a missions trip in the middle of the Sea of Galilee in the dark, in boisterous waves, and something that comes on the water walking that looks like a man comes along, you can tell me all you want to, be of good cheer. And I'm just going to laugh at you. But here's the difference between you telling me be of good cheer and God telling me be of good cheer. It is in God's power and capacity and ability, when I'm tired, when the situation seems impossible, when the burden is more than I could stand or bear, it is within God's power in the midst of that kind of storm in your life and mine to give me peace. And I want to encourage you this morning, the storm you're in, the life that you're living, the situations that are at hand, the burden that you bear, I pray that you'll hear the word of God and you'll rest in the promise of God this morning. And as Jesus says to you this morning, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. When you tell me be of good cheer, I say, how? Jesus says, it's I. It's not me. I'm not telling you. Don't take my word for it. I'm just a country preacher. But Jesus says to you, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. Folks, we can be heaven happy in the midst of our storms if we'll put our trust in the Lord. Jesus looks at the disciples. He says, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And Jesus looks at you and I this morning. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. I like this little phrase, be of good cheer. It's an interesting phrase, and God used it a few times in the Scriptures. There was a little lady. The Bible says she had an issue of blood. She had a bleeding disorder for years. She had spent everything that she had, and for 12 years, she had sought help from medical doctors, from anything and any person she could get. And she said, if I could but just touch the hem of his garment, then I do believe that I could be made whole. And as Jesus felt as he touched his garment, as she touched his garment, he looked at her and said, hey, I know how desperate your situation is. Do you know what he looked at her and said? Be of good cheer. When the disciples, after the crucifixion, when the disciples were worried and concerned, actually I should say in advance of the crucifixion, things were changing. Life was beginning to be different. Jesus looked at his disciples. You know what he said? Be of good cheer. He said, it's rough, it's difficult. But Jesus says, be of good cheer. And today in our text, Jesus looks at his disciples on the sea and he says, be of good cheer. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. Here's the points as we look through the passage of Scripture. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Number one, God's will comes with God's blessing. God's will comes with God's blessing. If you're ever looking at something that's right to do, and you say, I don't know that I can do it, don't be deceived because you can. If you are faced with a decision to do what is right as opposed to what is wrong, and you wonder, I don't know if I can do it, always attempt it because God blesses obedience. God's will comes with God's blessing. What the Bible says in verse number 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. The first thing that Jesus says, they have just packed up the baskets. And the Bible says straightway, they've packed up 12 baskets of food, and Jesus looks at his disciples and says, get in the boat and go to the other side. I'm tired. God's blessing is given to people who obey God's will. I'm wore out. God's will comes with God's blessing. We're not exactly sure if the boat will make it. God's will comes with God's blessing. We're not sure that it's a good night to travel. God's will comes with God's blessing. Jesus says to his disciples, he says, go in the boat to the other side. Now, he gives them a promise, and when God gives them a promise and a command, God always meets us there. The Bible says in verse number 23, and when he sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Why do we have the confidence to move forward in God's will to do what's right? Because Jesus is praying for us. Do you know that Jesus is praying for you? It's an amazing thing. I'm encouraged that people are praying for me. And there's folks that tell me all the time, I'm praying for you. And I never take it for granted. And I'm eternally grateful for the prayers of God's people. Pray, please pray for me. And I'm praying for you. But I'll tell you, your prayers are encouraging. But when I realize that Jesus is praying for me, that's just a little extra special. What was Jesus doing? Jesus sent his disciples into the storm. Who has the power over the winds and the waves? Jesus. Who put the disciples in the storm? Jesus. God's will is not always a promise that it's going to be easy. But God's will is always a promise that it will be met with God's blessing and enabling. Jesus is praying in Mark chapter 6, verse 48. You may mark that in your Bible. Not only was Jesus praying, but the Bible says that when Jesus is praying and the disciples are on the ship tossed in the sea, that Jesus sees them. As a matter of fact, we can deduce and we can understand from the very nature of God that God was with them. They couldn't see him, but God is everywhere present, and God was with them on the sea. And Jesus was praying. Look what the Bible says in the next verse, verse number 24. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. The wind was contrary. I think the Lord has used the word contrary this week as I've prepared this message in my heart as much as anything in this passage. Contrary. Contrary. We use it sometimes to talk about people. They're contrary. When you say someone's contrary, what's that mean? That means they're going against what you want. If you say that the wind is contrary, that means it's a headwind. That means it's not pushing you along, it's holding you back. Now, here's something that we need to praise the disciples for. God had said to them, get in the boat, go across the Sea of Galilee. They're in the boat, going across the Sea of Galilee, and the wind is contrary, but we do not see them ever turn around and go with the wind back in the wrong direction. You know what they do? They face a contrary wind, and they obey the Lord. I'll have you know something. If you've ever attempted to do something for the Lord, you'll find the winds of the world contrary. You'll find that it's not always easy. As a matter of fact, it's almost always difficult to go with God and against the world. But it's always right. People get so discouraged because they think, somehow if I'll accept Jesus Christ by faith as my Savior and I'll start going to church once or twice a week, then everything in life is going to be just all honey and no bees. Well, that's a lie. It doesn't work that way. It shouldn't work that way, because I don't know if you're like me, but when everything is smooth sailing in my world, do you know who gets the glory? Me. But when I hit a storm and I get in a situation and I get to a place where I'm having to go against the grain and against the wind to serve the Lord and obey the Lord, it's at that point that I understand that Cody Sturgill needs Jesus. Look, you say, I'm trying. I'm working, but it's not easy. God's word to you this morning is this: be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. God's will comes with God's blessing. You see, are you given a choice? You'll face it this week. You'll face it this week. Maybe today. Perhaps in your heart at this very moment. Am I going to do what's right? Or am I going to do what's easy? Am I going to do what's right? Or am I going to allow the winds of the world and the pressures of the flesh to cause me, instead of going into the storm and into the wind, in the will of God, to turn and let whatever happens, happen. Folks, we all know people who have got up in the morning and said, you know what, I think I'll just do what's easy. And the next day they've got up in the morning and said, I think I'll just do what's easy. And we've seen their end time and time and time again. You see, if you take the easy route in raising your children, you're going to miss your opportunity. If you take the easy route in your place of employment, you're going to miss your opportunity. If you take the easy route in the relationship that you have with your wife or the relationship you have with your husband, then you're going to end in disappointment. But if you will take the path and say, I know that this is right and it's not easy, but I know I'm going to choose what's right. When you choose to do what's right, guess what you meet every time? God's will comes with God's blessing. We ought to be attempting things that seem impossible, knowing that God will meet our needs. What did those disciples do? Praise the Lord for their fortitude and their strength. When the winds got contrary, they said, God told us to go to the other side. We're going to the other side. And they kept plugging along in a contrary wind. Don't be discouraged. You're in a contrary wind today. Don't be discouraged. God's word for you is, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Number two, circumstances out of my control are under Jesus' feet. Look what the Bible says in verse 25. The Bible says, in the fourth watch of the night, but that's between 3 and 6 a.m., in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. Now, I want you to get this picture in your mind with me. I don't know. I find it funny. But I see this picture. I see the disciples. I mean, these are the guys that in just a few short years, God is going to use them to shake the whole world. Chilhowee Baptist Church was birthed out of this group of disciples more than 2,000 years ago. God used those disciples to go headlong against the current of the world and start the church, and here we are after all these years, the result of their witness. Now, these are guys that in just a few short years, they'll be willing to give their lives for the cause of Christ. They'll stand up to preach to multitudes of people and thousands will get saved. These are guys that boldly will proclaim the truth of God. And here's where I see them, in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. They're in a ship. The waves are boisterous. Jesus comes to them and they think it's a ghost and they scream like little girls. It's a ghost, and then they scream. It's a ghost. I can see them, all 10 of them, huddled up together, trembling, and they're screaming. That's what the Bible says. Look at it. It says, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. They said, it's a ghost. And then they scream like little girls. These are the people that God is going to use to change the world. When I read that and see that, I am so encouraged, because it gives proof that God can even use somebody like me. And it's proof that God can use somebody like you. And it's proof that God can use a church like ours to do something miraculous, to reach this world with the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, you don't have to be great and big and strong. You just have to be willing to say yes when the Lord says go, and God will bless you. Circumstances out of my control are under Jesus' feet. What are you afraid of when you're in the ship, in the boat, in the night, and the waves are boisterous? What are you afraid of? If you've just finished watching Shark Week, you may be afraid that you're going to get eaten by a shark. Now, the truth of the matter is, most people who end up shipwrecked. They don't end up eaten by sharks. They end up drowning. And water is a scary thing. Drowning is a fearful thing. The waves was that which would cause the ship to turn over, and it's all part of the water. What does Jesus do? Jesus, in their time of need, they're scared to drown. Jesus comes walking to them on the water. Some people want to say, how did he do it? Did he solidify the water? Did he drop some of those pellets in there, and all of a sudden the whole Sea of Galilee became some kind of really thick gelatin? It don't matter how he did it. God has power over the rules of nature. And Jesus came walking on the water. Now, that water had scared them to death. So much so that they thought Jesus was a ghost. But Jesus comes walking on the very thing that threatened to take their life. I want to encourage you this morning. I want you to think about what it is, that circumstance. What is that fear? What is that thing or that person that causes you to tremble? It's out of your control. You don't know how to manage it. You don't know how to get on top of it. You feel like that it could swallow you up at any moment. You're drowning in this circumstance. I want to remind you of something. It is not bigger than God. As a matter of fact, Jesus has it under his feet. No problem. I heard a story twice this week. The first time I'd ever heard it, I want to share it with you. I think it's kind of funny. Pastor Chuck one day got a knock on the door here at the church, and there was a homeless man, a man who had some great need, who knocked on the door and just asked for some help. The man was kind of hunched over, and you could clearly see that he'd had a rough few days, and he asked if the church would consider helping him with a meal and a night stay at the hotel. He had a plan, some things were going to come together, and Pastor Chuck agreed, and he said, let me get a van, and I'll get you, and I'll take you over here to the hotel, and we'll get you a bite to eat, and we'll take care of you tonight. The man said, I hate to ask, but I've been hunched over for the last couple of days sitting. I've been sleeping under the bridge over here, and I'm having a little trouble, but I know how to fix it. He said, if I lay down here in the parking lot at the front of the door, if you'll just take your foot and you'll put it right in the small of my back and ease it down, it'll help me straight. He said, I'm not kidding. It'll really help me. Pastor Chuck thought for a second and looked around. So he gets on the man with one foot, and the story I hear, he's on him with 2 feet. He's standing on a man in the church parking lot right outside of these doors. About that time, Tracy Chandler, she was cleaning the church at the time, she walks down the hall and sees Pastor Chuck standing on a man in the church parking lot, and it just kind of flipped her out. What in the world? It appeared to her that there had been a fight, and Pastor Chuck had this man underfoot. Pastor Chuck has those folks underfoot, but the burden you bear, the trouble you have, look, it has no power over the power of God. And you just imagine your sea. What is it? It may be a person. It may be a circumstance. It may be the bottom line in your checkbook. I want you to know something. Your burden is not bigger than your God. And Jesus comes to these men when they're scared to sink, that they're going to sink and drown and die. And he comes walking on the very thing that threatens their life. Rest in the Lord. What does Jesus say to us? He says, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. You see, be of good cheer because our circumstances out of my control are under the feet of Jesus. Number three. Be of good cheer because God uses feeble faith. Feeble faith. How many of you can identify with the man that said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief? How many of you can identify with that? I can. I believe. Man, I believe in the Lord. I have confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'll just tell you, there are moments and times when my faith is feeble at best. And I'm encouraged when I read the Bible, because there are other people with feeble faith that God uses in a mighty way. And Peter is one of them. How many of you have ever heard this story? It's almost like the story goes like this. Peter walked on water, but then he got his eyes off Jesus and he sank. The end. Well, I understand, but let's give old Peter a little credit. There was 11 disciples still in the boat, hugging each other, screaming like little girls. When Peter saw that it was Jesus, he says, "If it's you, bid me come." And Jesus says, "Come." And Jesus gets out, and Peter gets out of the boat. He's like, "I'm scared to death, and I know the best place to go. I'm going to get to Jesus." Let's give him a little credit. He walked on water. Let's not forget that he walked on water. It wasn't great faith. It was feeble faith, but he walked on water. And we can be of good cheer because God uses feeble faith. Look what the Bible says in verse 28. "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." Now, just get the picture. The waves are still raging. The wind is still contrary. It's boisterous sea. They're still scared to death. But Peter says, "I think that's Jesus. If it's you, Lord, bid me come." And Jesus says, "Come." And Peter, he can't even stand it till he gets out of the boat. I see him flopping off the side, and he's going to Jesus. Now, you can look at this a couple different ways. I don't think that Peter was thinking, "I'll show you boys in the boat what real faith looks like. I'm going to get out of the boat and walk on the water." God never blesses arrogancy. I think that it was Peter's desperate need. He's like, "I'm scared to death, and if I can get help somewhere, it's going to be from Jesus. And if he's out in the water, he's in the center of a tornado, it don't matter where he is, I'm going to him right now." It reminds me of a little child. A little child scared to death will run into danger to get to their parents. And me as a child of God, in my time of great need, if Jesus is standing in the sea, if Jesus is standing in the storm, I'm going to go to him, because where Jesus is where there is protection and safety. Peter was far more safe in the presence of Christ, in the standing in the sea without a boat or a life jacket one, than he was in a sturdy boat. Don't we put so much faith in the material things in life? It's like, while we've got material things to rest in and to float on the sea of life, then we're great. But as soon as the boat starts to rock and tip, and the things that, of the world that we've put such confidence in begin to flip over and begin to swirl and to tear up, then we're like, "Oh, what are we going to do?" I can't help but think that Jesus is grieved by our faithlessness. He sees the confidence and the rest we put in the things of this world. And yet, when those things begin to deteriorate and diminish, like health, he sees our fretting and our fearfulness, and he thinks, "Look here, guys, I'm right here. I'm right here. I'm right here." When my kids were little, there was a couple times I got aggravated. "Dad, I'm scared." And it just kind of gets on my nerves after a while. "I'm right here. I'm right here." You know something good? We don't get on Jesus' nerves. But I know we grieve his spirit, because he's present. He's present. And old Peter, you know what he did? He jumped out of the boat. Something else you got to think about. The storm hasn't changed at all. He jumps out of the boat, and the Bible says in verse number 25, "In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I, and be not afraid." Verse 28, "Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." Verse 30. "But when he saw the wind boisterous, Now, here's the story, and here's the timeline. Peter jumps out of the boat. Guess what? The boat's rocking. The wind's boisterous. I mean, the sea is boisterous. The wind's contrary. Peter gets out of the boat anyway. He's standing in the middle of the storm, and he's going to Jesus. I mean, his focus is fixed on Jesus. The circumstances do not change at all. He's walking on water, and then he sees the boisterous sea. He's scared by some peripheral circumstance. And the Bible says he begins to sink. I want you to hear this. We like to blame peripheral circumstances for why we do not serve the Lord the way we ought to or the way we used to. We blame peripheral circumstances. We think, I just don't have the time that I used to. I don't have the money I used to. I don't have the... I'm a little extra tired. You come up with all kinds of excuses. You know, what's your excuse? Ask the Spirit of God right now to tell you what's your excuse. What's your excuse? I've got mine, and you've got yours. What's your excuse for not serving the Lord like you ought to? Now, here's what I want to remind you of. It's not the circumstances that prevent us from serving the Lord. It's when we take our eyes off of Jesus and we pay attention to the circumstances. We say, I can't do that anymore because of this. I can't serve the Lord because of this. Instead of looking at Jesus. Now, the situation hadn't changed at all. The only difference between Peter sinking and Peter walking was Peter began to pay attention like, oh my goodness, this is terrible. It was just as terrible when he took his first few steps. It was just as terrible when he stepped out on the water. It was just as terrible. It hadn't changed at all. And serving God's not always easy. It's always right. And if you'll get your eyes fixed on Jesus, and you'll understand that Jesus is eternal, and heaven is real, and hell is real, and the gospel is the only way for folks to go to heaven, and I need a relationship with Christ to have peace and joy and love and all those things I long for. If you'll get your eyes fixed on Jesus, you don't care how bad the storm is, you're going to follow Christ. He's going to be first. But when you begin to look at the peripheral things, you sink in your faith. You sink in your service. You lose your focus on the prize, which is Christ Jesus. That's what happened to Peter. The circumstance didn't change at all. He looked away. But I want you to see something encouraging about Peter. The Bible says in verse 30, when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Now, when did he cry to the Lord to save him? After he was over his head? No, when he was beginning to sink. I think he knows his feet sinking into the water, and he realized what he'd done. He says, Lord, help me. I'll tell you something. We're all on the endeavors that Jesus has set before us to do what's right and to please him. We're all going to find those times where we get our eyes on the storm as opposed to the Savior. And the moment we begin to feel ourselves sinking, we cry to the Lord. And that's right. It wasn't bad. It wasn't wrong. It was absolutely right. He's beginning to sing. He's like, uh-oh, Jesus, save me. Help me. Here's where we mess up. I think we get distracted by the storms of life and we fail to serve the Lord and we make Jesus a secondary priority in our lives, even if even that. And we're sinking, 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 sinking. And we sink for years and years and years and years. Because we think back to that moment when it got difficult. We say, I can't do that. You can. You can do what's right. Because God's promised to meet you there with his blessing. And God uses feeble faith. He was beginning to sing and he recognized it. He said, hey, save me, Lord. The Bible continues in verse number 31. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? It's not a terrible rebuke. He's holding him up, still standing in the sea, by the way. He says, why'd you doubt? Why'd you doubt? And Peter and Jesus, verse 32, come into the ship. When they come into the ship, the wind ceases. Verse 33, then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. What happens? I'll tell you, we can be of good cheer because God uses feeble faith. But number four, we can be of good cheer because others benefit when I trust Jesus. Others benefit when I trust Jesus. Now, Peter was in that boat, and he'd screamed like a little girl like the other disciples. But when he saw Jesus, realized who it was, he said, I got to get to him. And he ran to Jesus out on the water. Jesus took him. Jesus saved him. Jesus helped him. He went back into the boat. And when they got back into the boat, the wind ceased. And all the disciples, the other disciples who had just continued in their fear, guess what they did? They said, they worshiped Jesus as thou art surely the Son of God. When you trust Jesus, guess what? It benefits other people. It continues what the Bible says. The Bible says in this, as we conclude this passage, in verse number 33, they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Verse 34, and when they were gone over, they had continued in a contrary wind. They end up in the land of Gennesaret. Verse 35, and when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. What happened? The disciples continued in a contrary wind. Peter, when Jesus came, he by faith rested in the Lord. Jesus gets back in the boat. The sea is still. They continue the plan of God, the path of God. As God had promised, they were on the other side. When they got to the other side, God did a mighty work in the whole city of Gennesaret. What happens? Be of good cheer. When you trust Jesus, it helps other people too. You see, how many of you are like me and you want to have godly children? How many of you are like me and you want to have godly grandchildren, and you want to have a godly influence, and you want to see God do a work in your community and your church? I want to see God do a work in this county and in our state and our nation. I know a way to invoke and begin the blessing of God. You know how it is? Every one of us individually saying, this is God's will. It's not always easy, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to trust Jesus. And when we trust Jesus, others benefit. See, this is a principle that doesn't go away. I'm reminded of a story about Peter. It's not the only time Peter ever jumped out of a boat. You should read it sometime in your Bibles, in the book of John, chapter number 21. Peter had decided to go fishing. There was a season of concern because Jesus had gone to the cross. He had been buried in a borrowed tomb. He had risen 3 days later. And he had appeared to the disciples, but it was still kind of, what in the world do we do? Because Jesus wasn't there at that moment. And Peter's like, I've sat around here long enough. I'm going to go fishing. And he goes out on the sea, and not far out, but far enough out where they could be catching some fish. And Jesus comes, and they didn't see who it was. And he cries out to the disciples. He says, children, do you have any bread? And they're like, no fish. And Jesus says, cast your net on the other side. And they bring in a great drought of fishes. John says to Peter in the boat, he says, I think that's the Lord. I think that's Jesus. The Bible says immediately Peter grabbed his coat, his cloak, and he jumps out of the boat and swims as fast as he can to Jesus. He's like, I got to get to him. I got to get to him. Where do you think Peter learned that? In times of need and distress, I got to get to Jesus. Well, he learned it one night in a storm. He learned it one night in a storm. And he understood, if I can get to Jesus, then I can rest in this simple truth. Be of good cheer. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're dealing with. But God does. And in your storm, be of good cheer. Jesus says, it's I. Be not afraid. We can rest in the Lord. What a wonderful Savior. Jump out of the boat. Do what's right. Run to Christ and never look back, and you'll find Him always faithful. Be of good cheer. Let's pray.